Yes, hello everyone. How's it going? What's the crack? My name is Michael and welcome back to a brand new episode of the McLav podcast. I hope everyone's keeping well. I hope everyone's having a fantastic day wherever you're listening from and watching for the first time in probably well over a year. I'm recording recording the video of one of these episodes, so if you prefer to watch your episodes or podcasts in general on YouTube, you can do with this one, because I was that bored that I decided to actually set a camera and stuff up, and here we are. So yeah, this podcast completely derived out of boredom. I've spent most of my day listening to other podcasts and just felt like, you know, I had to. Not that I had to whatsoever, but like, when you committed so much to like buying so much equipment and stuff for a podcast and you just leave it sitting for ages, it feels a bit pointless when you go weeks, months at a time without recording it. But we're here, we're recording an episode, and yeah, could go in absolutely any direction possible. I've no idea what I want. There's loads to talk about, really, but we'll just wing it and see where it goes. I've spent most of this week for uni in radio studios, because I'm doing a radio module this year, and it is fantastic. I absolutely love it. And like, that's professional. That's a really like proper setup, soundproof rooms, proper speakers, like cameras, or not cameras, like microphones, properly set up the like mixing desk, the whole lot. It's just, and it would really, you know, if you're sort of sitting on the edge that you wanted to do radio work or not as a career, as I sort of was coming into this year, it would really make you want to do it. If you got to work in that sort of environment every single day, that would be brilliant. Like, there's no worry about how good the sound quality is if everything's connected up, because it just is, because it's a professional level, ready to go radio studio. And then I've just spent 20 minutes here trying to get the sound right, trying to get this video working, and I'm like, oh, this is such a downgrade. And then I remember that I paid the guts of 500 quid for this piece of equipment, and that it's really snobbish of myself to be like, that old thing, when it quite literally nearly cost me an arm and a leg. But yeah, practicing the radio stuff, and that would be a dream job. Like, a sports radio show, you know, the equivalent of a podcast, essentially, except it goes live, and it gets broadcast live every single day. Imagine a sports breakfast show. Not necessarily like talk sport, but something that just encompasses everything, you know, whether it's in America, or it's here in England, or if it's in Ireland, I don't know. But this week, and the amount of stuff I've seen online, really has sort of pointed me in the direction of where I want to go career wise and that's a good thing, you know. That's sort of the whole point of this course and why I'm here and why I'm doing it and whatever else. And if I can come out of it with a clear end goal and even better, a job, that would be perfect. There's a lot of sport been going on this weekend. A lot of sport will continue to go on this weekend. But let's go back to last weekend. And it was the weekend of the Japanese Grand Prix. And that meant being on the other side of the world, that everything was in the middle of the night, or depending on how you approach the weekend. Now, I will hope I approached the weekend wrong. I opted for the let's stay up each night and power right through to the following morning session, rather let's go to bed at a sensibly early time, wake up, watch the session, maybe even get back to bed for a while, and then continue with your day. No, from Thursday night football last week for the American football, I watched it. At the end of it, then the practice sessions for the Japanese Grand Prix started. Slept away through Friday afternoon, did the same thing Friday night into Saturday morning for qualifying. Slept all the way through Saturday afternoon, up Sunday morning for the Grand Prix, only for there to be like two laps, and then the whole thing be red flagged and called off for about an hour and a half, and then it went back going again, and the race finished. And then, for those interested in Formula One, obviously you know what happened next. For those that don't, there was a whole, I don't even know how I would describe it, it was a fiasco, a debacle. they mucked it up, basically. Nobody was clear on the rules. Nobody knew what was happening. And then, seemingly at the end of it, they just decided that, all right, we'll just give out full points here. And that made Max Verstappen the world champion for the second year in a row. So, I mean, it was a good result to see, but the way the news was broke was just horrible. Like, you know, for the sake of Formula One as a brand and as a driver, surely, like, the ideal way you want to win a championship is, like, crossing the line in the car, have your team in your ear telling you you've won it. Like last year, like at the end of last year, the one lap sheet I beat. Now, obviously that wasn't perfect circumstance, but I mean in how, like, you find out you're champion. You're in the car, you drive across the finish line, everybody celebrates. Max had finished the race, got out of the car, went and did his post-race interview, as they always do at the end of every race. And then they normally go through the podium, so it was like first, second, third. And then just in the middle of Sergio Perez's interview, Johnny Herbert was just like, whoa, Max, come back in. And just broke the news, and nobody believed it. Like, the ones I was watching with didn't believe it, I didn't believe it. Twitter hadn't a clue what was going on, everybody thought he needed one more point. Max, that is, until then, for some reason, they just decided that it was going to be full point. Now, it wasn't illegal what the way the rules were applied. It was just a bit like, could you not have specified this much sooner than after the race when it conveniently suits now that Max is world champion? But listen, that's sort of been the story of Formula One the past couple of years. It just seems to be suiting itself, tripping over itself to suit itself, you know, constantly shooting itself in the foot. But so there's no race on this weekend. I believe there's no race on next weekend either. I don't actually know. I don't know when the next one is, if it's next week or the following week. It's in America. And then, I mean, the rest of the season essentially is irrelevant because Red Bull's going to wrap up the constructors sooner rather than later. And then it's just fighting for position after that to see who finishes where. There is the cost cap issue on how much money was spent. That's a problem. Now, that's really technical and delving in for people that aren't interested in Formula One. But essentially, Red Bull have cheated, and that's been investigated. And everything last year, like all the championships and stuff, are now up in the air, so to speak, because they've cheated. They spent too much money. They went over the limit, and they're going to be penalised for it, penalised, whatever way that word said. So yeah, that'll be a bit of drama to come. The World Cup starts soon, just over a month, in and around a month's time. And that's going to be hectic. Like, it's fine, and like in the summer, you think, oh, we've all summer to play the World Cup, and you know, it plays out over four, maybe 5 weeks or whatever it is. But like the fact that this is squeezing in from November just before Christmas, it just makes it feel so much more condensed, even though it's probably over the same exact time frame that a normal World Cup would be, except for the fact that it's in winter and it's probably going to be brutal. Like, I don't see much atmosphere at these matches. I can see artificially generated atmosphere, like what's the word I'm looking for, like crowd noise being pumped in like through speakers. I can see a lot of people like being ambassadors being hired to make Qatar seem more fun than what it's actually going to be, because the laws and stuff that are in place, the state of the, like the way the games come about through, you know, basically paying to be allowed to host such an event is it leaves it a bit flat. So I can imagine there's going to be a massive PR job. From that, I mean, there already is the likes of David Beckham and all being an ambassador. The adverts are everywhere. But during the actual games themselves, there's going to be a lot, I think, of trying to make it look fun. Trying to make it look like this is, you really wish you were here. You should have come to Qatar. When in reality, that's probably not the case at all if you were actually there. As for the tournament itself, I mean, who is going to win it? I mean, like, is it going to be one of the European teams? It's like, is it going to be Messi versus Ronaldo. Like, imagine the showdown. Imagine the internet. Imagine Twitter from the semi-final, like the end of the semi-finals to full time at the World Cup final, if the final was Argentina versus Portugal. If it was Messi versus Ronaldo, all this, like, this gladiator style, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, almost epic finish to both these players' career, because, I mean, they'll not be playing in the next World Cup. Will Ronaldo play in the next Euros? Probably not. You know, that would be, like, Twitter just wouldn't be able to cope on that one particular day. First of all, it would be hilarious. Second of all, it would just be the most toxic place on planet Earth to be. Third of all, probably would be a decent match. I think Brazil are favourites at the minute. Again, probably something I should have looked up before hitting record. Didn't do it. Who else? Are England going to do it? Probably not. You know, is the blind optimism taking over? Absolutely. I'm living here. I'm seeing how people's attitudes swing back and forth between get south, get out, to we might have a chance. The worst thing that could have happened to this England squad heading into this World Cup was those 15 minutes or so against Germany in the Nations League there a couple of weeks ago, when they played attacking football and they blew Germany away and they scored three goals. They come from two down to go three up, and Wembley was rocking, and then obviously Germany come back, equalised, and the game finished 3-3. But those 15 minutes of England play, like lit the fire. Like, that's that kick started the it's coming home train. Do you know what I mean? Because they've seen something from their team, the England fans, that they haven't seen in a long time. You know, under Southgate has been a bit vanilla. Yes, they got their Euros final, but they scored one goal in the final and then set back and just let Italy come on to them. Those 15 minutes are really going to, you know, have people speaking. They're like, oh, we can do it. You know, we're going to be great. It's coming home. It's the worst sense of false hope that they could have had. I would love nothing more than America, like the United States national team, for them to beat England. One, because it would be hilarious. Two, Twitter would be absolutely fantastic. You know, it shows the state of my life at the minute whenever I'm comparing how good a day can be to how Twitter deals with real world events. You know, if you're going to get good memes off Twitter, then I'm going to have a good day. It's plain simple. But the actual sheer significance then of the United States beating England would just be absolutely hilarious. From a World Cup standpoint as well, because, I mean, who else? Wales is in that group as well. And then Iran. I mean, if England lost to Wales and the USA, it would be spectacular, and it would be nightmarish. Because, I mean, the England squad has talent. It's a pretty stacked team. You just have to feel like at the minute that it's being held back by its manager. Unless, now even I'm falling into the trap of it, unless they play like for a full tournament, like they did for those 15 minutes against Germany. Just attacking, forward-pressing football. And it was the Nations League. I can't exactly remember the German lineup, so I can't remember if they were full strength or not. But, you know, there were signs there. There were signs there of an attacking, dominant England team. And that's bad news for us all. And for people that are, wait, like me living here, people that consume media, because the media would just be insufferable. The papers, the punditry. I mean, we all seen it during the Euros. But all we can hope for is an exciting tournament, and one that just doesn't turn out to be as bland or as vanilla as it's threatening to be, basically because of it being in winter and the condensed schedule, meaning players are going to be knackered. Aside from that, then, there's a wealth of players that aren't going. And the fact that Haaland isn't going, I mean, I haven't even spoke about him yet. I don't even want to. It's mind-boggling at this point how good he is at football. The fact that he's not going to the World Cup and he just gets to sit home and rest all winter, then everybody's going to be coming back from the World Cup punctured and he's just going to run riot again is terrifying. You know, like come January time or whatever it is when the fixtures probably get back going again, Boxing Day I think maybe, like he's going to be fresher than anybody and he could be on 30 goals by the middle of March, genuinely. Like the bookies are paying out on him winning the Golden Boot already, paying out on 38 plus goals. It's just scandalous. But that's how good he is, and that's how good that fit is for him at City. It's just it's like Pep's dream. Like he's just got himself this striker. And Haaland is just running riot. I mean, Haaland and Foden, hat-tricks against United 2 weeks ago. And Haaland's just going scoring for fun. I mean, there's no other analysis that I could bring on to this other than the fact that, I'm not going to pretend like I have some masterful insight other than the fact that he's lethal at football. He fits City's style of play so well. And it's incredibly frustrating when there's nothing anybody can do about it. But it's also an absolute joy to watch. So why the hell not just enjoy it? United are a confusion team. Don't know what the hell's going on. I mean, like, 1 minute I'm beyond excited and pumped and just can't believe how good things are going. Then City put six past you. Then you squeak out two wins over Neil Lennon's Ammonia, the Cypriots, the keeper having the game of his life. His interview as well afterwards was incredible. Just so happy to be at Old Trafford, so full of energy and not even disappointed at the loss because he was like, well, I'm a United fan, but not in a match fixing type way, but we played so well against a massive club up until the very end and then they eventually broke us down, but he was delighted. His interview's fantastic. Go watch it. It's on like BT Sports, Twitter and whatever else. He's just delighted. But United as an entity, as a team this year, no idea. I mean, who's we play? I think we're playing Newcastle tomorrow. I'll just check that while I am looking here. I mean, that'll not be an easy game either. Manchester United. Newcastle, 2 o'clock tomorrow. Looking forward to it. I've just also subconsciously here in the past 2 minutes realised how much I'm saying and so I'm really trying not to, and the fact that I'm also recording this means I'm looking at myself doing it, makes it 10 times more awkward. So if you want to see something cringeworthy and you're only listening to this, go to the YouTube version of this and you'll see how silly it looks when I'm just anonym, and also you can see my head fighting with itself trying not to do it. What other sports have we? I probably should have taken some notes before starting this, but I just, as I said, was listening to other podcasts and decided that I wanted to do my own. So the Gaelic football, the Ulster Senior Football Championship draw, has been made for next year already. Armagh's in their preliminary round against Antrim. So they'll have to go the long way final if they want to make it there. The rest of the draw itself, I'd say probably Tyrone Monaghan, pick of the fixtures from the rest of it, but can't wait for all that to come back. I mean, I know it's still only October and whatever, and so that you can't wait. Bear in mind the club season's still going on now, and the coverage online of the club championships has been fantastic. The clips and the stream has been superb, so there's plenty of coverage. And so far, this split season, this new layout, this new calendar for the GAA seems to be working okay. It was initially proposed, I wasn't too keen on it. I just thought, you know, because over the summer the inter-county game builds up so much, there essentially be nothing until January, February, was sort of a bad move. But then the summer, you know, the Shane Walshes and the David Cliffords and the Shawnee O'Shea's and the Ryan O'Neill's and whatever else, when you see him popping up on your timeline, you realise they're playing for the club. Then the club game grows and the coverage of it grows, and it's been good. It hasn't, you know, maybe there's a few things still need ironed out in terms of how different counties play their championships and group stage championships versus pure knockout and stuff like that. Some of that still needs ironed out. But so far, so good. No complaints. And that's about as much as you can think of, really, for sport. Something that did just pop into my head there, which is terribly sad. Poor Hagrid's dead. Robbie Coltrane. That came out yesterday. Harry Potter. Whatever else. You know, this is always the time of year when you watch Harry Potter, sort of from Halloween right up to Christmas. So that'll be strange watching it this year, knowing that he's died. It was sad. Like, I mean, you hear these things and you, like, why would it ever matter to you? Or why would you ever care? And then you realize, like, oh, that's actually terribly sad, because you've grown up all your life watching these films, and Hagrid, like, is so instantly recognizable. There is only one Hagrid. He's 7 foot whatever tall, and it, like, instantly, you know, he's so referenceable in so many different ways. That it was a bit sad. I know this, that was a bit of a somber turn to the podcast there, but just something that popped into my head. So I feel like that's pretty much everything covered that I wanted to cover. I say I wanted to cover, I had no idea what I was going to talk about. Talked about the football, the Formula One, the NFL's ongoing as well. The NFL needs to sort of shit out, essentially. The whole mess over Tua Tagovailoa and his concussion, and being allowed to play 4 days after his first one, getting another one, you know, could have literally killed him. I was in London. I wasn't at the game. I was in London the day of one of the games, and London in October is amazing. London in October is like... Did I just make that noise? Did that just come from me? It must have done. Anyway, so weird. Sorry. London in October is just fantastic. It's NFL season. The place is decorated. Head to toe in NFL stuff. And it's just so enjoyable. So the fact that I wasn't there for any of the matches was a bit annoying. Just being in the city, though, itself was fantastic. I can't believe that noise had just come out of me there. It was it's like my throat needs like WD-40 or something. It was like squeaking like mad. What a horrible way to end this episode, yeah. I think that's it pretty much covered. I've thrown myself completely off track now by just making weird dinosaur noises unintentionally. I will hopefully do these more regularly. Again, broken record, say this every single time. But now that I know that I can record them and have all the sounds and stuff come out of the desk over there, not that I used any of the night apart from the intro, that is good, and it's fun to sort of, you know, you can add a few different things in, whatever else. But yeah, I feel like I'll wrap it up here, and I'll pick it up again soon, probably. I would love to record an episode in the studios that I was talking about, because that would be like professional level. That would be a high quality. That would be enjoyable as well. So I'll maybe see if I can recruit some people for that. But for now, for the time being, thank you so much for listening or watching. If you have done, I do appreciate it. And I'll see us all in the next episode of the McLav Podcast. Cheers.